then you may be taking medication, you may be going to the doctor, you may have to go in the hospital, you may need MRIs, CAT scans, all these other things. And so what's happening in your life? One thing after another, after another, after another, after another is being what? Piled on you. And so what do you need when that happens? Because see, the tendency might be to freak out and go all to pieces. But as a child of God, what you need is some hoopamanace. You need the ability to abide underneath the load.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Patience. I can't wait to have patience. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Patience. I can't wait to have patience.
One page at a time. Don't read anything. Don't read it. Just turn the page. One page at a time. Until you turn all 300 pages. Now, how many people are going to do that? Right. Right. You know why? You know why? Because you might not need patience, right? But if somebody's impatient, maybe that's what they need to do. To work on their patience. So he says, steroid your patience up. Build your patience up. You might want to do like Pastor Glaze. One of the things that I do. To strengthen my patience is when I'm standing in line, I think about what are the results of me not having patience. If I go crazy on somebody standing in this line, if I speak my mind because of my impatience as I'm standing in the line, what are the consequences of that? And again, as I said earlier, that's why I said I jumped a little bit in the beginning to this point right here. But one of the things that can happen is somebody will say, man, you know, I saw Pastor Glaze at the store. I couldn't believe it. You know, this dude, man, you know, he was fussing and fretting and fighting, you know, because he had to stand in line, you know. And the thing was, I was standing behind him, so I had to wait longer than he did. So, you know, think of how can you build up? If you are an impatient person, how can you build up your patience? What are some things that you can do to build your patience up? As again, let me repeat this. Patience is work. God is not going to drop patience out of the sky on you. Second thing, take advantage of the trials that come in your life. When you go through trials, nobody wants to go through. How many people in here want to go through trials? I don't. Nobody wants to go through trials. But the fact is that trials are an inevitable part of life. That I don't care who you are, go back to what I said earlier, you're in a trial, just got out of trial, you're getting ready to get into one, right? In one of those three situations, all right? So trials are an inevitable part of life. What we need to do when we go through a trial is realize that there is a silver lining inside that cloud. What is the silver lining? The silver lining is that this is an opportunity for me to work on my patience. Let me give you two verses that prove that. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Give you two verses to show you that trials, you should welcome trials. Not say, give me trials, but when they come, okay, it's here. Now I'm going to get something out of it. I'm not going to waste my time going through this trial. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Wow. Tribulation. That your problems that you go through, they work patience. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or various trials, knowing this, that the testing of your faith worketh patience. That when trials come in your life, what trial is it? So some of you are sitting here right now and you're going through something. You're going through something right now, and the only thing you can think about, man, I wish this was over. When am I going to be done with this? Instead of saying in the midst of it that you got to deal with it anyways, you got to go through it anyways, why not say, oh, man, my patience is being strengthened, that I'm taking advantage of this opportunity, that I'm growing in patience as I go through this time. Because God said in his word that tribulation produces patience. And if I will capitalize on this opportunity, I can get a little stronger in my patience. I told y'all about the guy who went to his pastor, and he said, Pastor, he said, I'm very impatient. Can you pray for patience for me? And the pastor said, sure, I'll be glad to. And so they got down on their knees and they began to pray. And the pastor said, Lord, I pray that you would send this man problems in the morning, problems in the afternoon, and problems in the evening. He said, oh, wait a minute, Pastor, what are you praying for? He said, I'm praying for patience. He said, no, it sounds like you're praying for problems. He said, well, how in the world you think you're going to get patience? Tribulation works patience. You know what? Just think about this. Think about this. I'm riding to work, right? I come, all the lights are green. I don't have to stop, all right? No people getting in my way. I ride all the way to work, get the spot that I want when I get to work, and walk in the door. I didn't need any patience for that. What did I need patience for? Everything worked out. Everything went my way. But when do you need patience? You need patience when you get resistance, when you're dealing with kids, when you're dealing with other folks, when you're dealing with situations. That's when you need patience. You don't need patience when everything is going well. And so God realizes, and that's why he said in his word, that in order for our patience to be strengthened, that we got to go through some tribulation. Now, you know, I mean, I'd like to have a life that was free from persecution, free from tribulation, but that's not my testimony. I mean, maybe that's one of your testimonies. But I realize, and maybe God, after the fall, before the fall, everything was perfect. That we didn't have to worry about anything. All was cool. Everything was in order. You know, there was no problems. So everything worked out fine. But after the fall, maybe God, in his wisdom, said, as a result of this, let me allow problems to come. Now, I'm not going to send problems on everybody's life, but let me just allow problems to come. Because it's in those problems that they're going to learn patience. You know, if not, you know, they're going to think that everything is supposed to be fine. They might get the misconception that everything is supposed to be like it was before the fall. You know, and that, you know, some people, that's what they want. I would love that. Wouldn't you love to have it like back in the Garden of Eden? You know, I heard one mother say, when I get to heaven, the first person I'm going to look up is Eve. And I said, why? Because I want to, you know, figure out why we got these pains in childbirth because of her, right? So before that, you know, everything was cool. And if everything in your life sailed along smooth, you would not need patience. But because life is filled with conflict, controversy, trials, and tribulation, we need to learn patience. Let's go back to our example. The farmer, the prophets, and Job. Whatever the situation is, we need patience. The third thing is wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. During times of difficulty, I've heard people respond, it is what it is. Well, what do they mean when they say that? What they mean is, you know, the situation is the way that it is, and for right now, there's nothing I can do to change it. And that's true. You know, if you think about it, it is what it is. You know, if you want to lose some weight during the new year, then you got to come to the conclusion that tomorrow I'm not going to be 40 pounds thinner, that this is what it is. And so I need to work with what is. But let me say something, that even if it is what it is, there's something that we can do in the meantime. And what can we do in the meantime when situations are what they are? Is that we can wait on the Lord. That no matter what I'm going through, I can wait on the Lord. Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That during times when I would have a tendency to be impatient because things are not working out the way that I want to see them work out, then I've got to be patient. I've got to wait on the Lord. This word wait comes from a word that means to take a strand and take another strand and take another strand, like a string or a rope, and bind them together. That you're taking strands of rope, same word, and you're binding them together. Well, what is Isaiah saying? Isaiah says that when we wait on the Lord, that our patience, God is taking all of these situations in our life, like those strands in a rope, and he's tying them together. And what happens when you tie the strands of a rope together? They get stronger. They get stronger. And Isaiah says, they that sit in the Lord's presence, they that wait upon the Lord, that God begins to bind that rope together, and you get stronger, and you get stronger, and you get stronger. That people who come and sit in God's presence, spend time before him, that their patience is strengthened when they come before him. But if we're not coming before God, if we just sit around all day and we're doing ungodly things and we're doing things that are not beneficial and fruitful, if we're just sitting around all day wasting time, then what's happening? We're not getting strong, we're getting weaker. It's like the cord is being weakened. And so when we get into situations, we wonder why we don't have any patience. The reason we don't have any patience is because we haven't sat in the presence of the Lord where he has bound those cords together and strengthened us in our patience. They that wait upon the Lord, that when you wait on God, you know, and this, you know, like I said, patience is work, but this right here, this is just you getting still. You know, there was a commercial that was on. This couple, they went up to the desk and they said that they were looking for something that was dependable and reliable. And the brother just did one of these numbers. He started looking up in the sky. And the lady behind the desk says, "He all right?" And she said, "Yeah, this is me, Tom. He's, you know, he'll come back." But you know, so sometimes that's what we need to do, right? We need to be like that guy. That when we start going through stuff, we just need to. We just need to get quiet. And we need to look at the Lord. And we need to wait on the Lord. And while we're doing that, check this out. While we're doing it, what is God doing? He's tying it all together. And he's strengthening us as we wait on him. Number four, you need to develop a plan to overcome impatience. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Develop a plan to overcome impatience. Colossians 3 and verse 12. It says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved." And the New American Standard says, "A heart." Put on a heart. The King James says, "Tender mercies." Put on a heart of kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, patience. King James says, "Long suffering." You need to put on a heart of patience. What does it mean to put on a heart of patience? It means that you need to get to know yourself. And you need to think about, you need to sit down and you need to, with a pen and a piece of paper, and you need to write every situation that you know about yourself that you're going to be impatient in. And as you, I'm just telling you what the word said, put on a heart of patience. And that every one of those situations, you need to have a strategy to deal with it. That if you get impatient riding down the street because somebody in front of you is not driving as fast as you think they should, then that should not catch you by surprise. You ought to have a strategy. Now, I would say the best strategy I found for that is to leave in plenty of time to get where you're going. Because I am very impatient if I'm in a hurry. Very impatient. And I be, you know, sometimes I got to keep reminding myself that I'm a pastor. Because I know I've rolled up on people and gritted on them. Right? And I said, man, I hope there's not a Bethany. Woo. But you know, what's the best combat for that? Is to leave on time. Give yourself plenty of time. I find when I give myself plenty of time, man, it's stress-free. You know, I mean, you can do some things that, you know, may happen that I can't plan for, but at least I know within my ability that I've put together a strategy that the next time I get into a situation that's going to cause me to be impatient, I have a strategy. Paul said that put on a heart of patience. What does that mean? Again, it means you put in your heart whatever it takes to combat impatience in your life. So what is it that causes you to be impatient? You know, if you don't know, get before the Lord. Seek him out. Find out what it is that causes you to be impatient, and then you ought to have a strategy to deal with each one of those situations. And I would say you need to do this also. Find a verse to support that strategy, because God has a verse to support the strategy that you're coming up with. You know, again, I can find a strategy for me when I'm running late and I get impatient because there's somebody driving slow in front of me. What is the biblical strategy? Well, the Bible says much about planning ahead. It says that if you will plan ahead, that you won't have to deal with those frustrations. What about when I'm standing in line? Well, when I'm standing in line, you know, instead of me getting upset because the line is taking longer than I think it should, what is my strategy? My strategy is, number one, to think, well, I'm a pastor, and if I act a fool, then somebody's going to see me. That's the first strategy. My second strategy, and I've used this several times, my second strategy is just to start quoting scripture. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Be still and know that I'm God. I tell you what, when you start doing that, you would be surprised how your heart changes when you start doing that right there. You can't do that. You can't do that and continue to be impatient. God is going to do something in your life. So you need to develop a plan to overcome impatience. Number five, be filled with the Spirit. Paul said one of the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering or patience. The more that we allow ourselves to be filled with the Spirit, the more we will have patience. How are we filled with the Spirit? Again, in his word, prayer, obedience, brokenness, that the more we are broken to self, the deeper the channel for the Holy Spirit to flow through us. If we're filled with self, if we're filled with pride, the Holy Spirit has no room in our life. But if we are broken, if we are humble, the Holy Spirit will flood our souls. And when the Holy Spirit floods our souls, we will be saturated with patience. And then number six, you got to take control over your spirit. An impatient person is really given an indication that they can't control their spirit. Look at Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 28. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. In the Old Testament, one of the first things they did whenever they started a civilization was they built a wall around a city. And that wall served for several functions, but one of the functions that it served as was a protection, so that they wouldn't be invaded by the enemy. That whenever we have no control over our spirit, our walls are broken down, and we can be invaded by all kind of enemies. The enemy of unforgiveness, the enemy of bitterness, the enemy of anger, the enemy of discouragement, the enemy of hatred, that when our walls are broken down. So we need to take control over our spirit. And how do you do that? How do I take control over my spirit? And I'm going to close with this. because Paul gives us some timely advice as to how we can take control of our spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. How do you take control of your spirit? See, you know, sometimes you got to speak to impatience in your life. And you got to tell impatience that, no, I'm not going to be impatient. No, you're not going to control my life. That I'm in control of my life. Impatience is not in control of my life. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 26, he says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body under and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul's fear was that after he had preached to others, that something would happen in his life to disqualify him from the ministry. And so Paul said, in order for me not to be in that position, he said that I bring my body into subjection, that I tell my body what to do. It don't tell me what to do. Now, I found that to be so true. Again, making a confession. Man, I've had all kind of sweets and goodies this Christmas holiday, Christmas season, which I had stopped eating. But they look so good. So many good things. I found myself waking up, eating a piece of pound cake, going to bed eating pound cake. Woe is me. Right? But see, let me tell you something. You get up in the morning, right? And there's that piece of pie, whatever it is. Oh, man, that looks good. I'm going to have that piece of pie. No! I'm not going to have that pie. My appetite is not going to tell me what to do. My hunger is not going to tell me what to do. Let me go in here and get some tofu. No, just kidding. you know what I'm saying? But you see what I'm saying, right? I know y'all think I'm crazy, right? You got to talk to the pie. You got to talk to the pie. Right? No. You're not going to get me. You're not going to tip my tummy with the taste of oats and honey. No, you're not going to do that. But that's the way you do it. That's the way that you overcome when that impatient spirit hits you. You got to speak to your spirit and say, no, you're not going to control me. You're not going to guide my life. You're not going to direct my life. That the Bible says that I need to have patience. That God said that the fruit of the Spirit is patience. That James said that I need to build myself up in patience. The Bible is filled with people that needed patience. The Bible is filled with scriptures that say that we should be patient. And if the Word of God says that I should have patience, then I need to do whatever I can to implement patience in my life. And that spirit of impatience that's inside, you're not going to control me. No, you're not going to dictate to me how to run my life. And if we'll do that, we'll find ourselves living the way God, especially in this area, living the way that God would have us to live. So we're closing the way we started with the title, I Can't Wait to Have Patience. I can't wait to have patience. Well, that's an oxymoron right there. Because if you're going to have patience, a key symbol of that.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Love. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. Part 1. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Patience, I Can't Wait to Have Patience, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Patience, I Can't Wait to Have Patience. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Patience, I Can't Wait to Have Patience. or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.